Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
When you see your kids play the Wii Fit games or tennis or baseball, or you have somebody who has Zumba on their Wii or PlayStation, are you wondering if it really works? Is it something new and different? Is it giving them really a decent workout? Well, that's really the question, and while it may not replace traditional, really good, high-intensity workouts, it may be a way to adjunct your workout, and we're going to see what's going on in the latest in gaming technology for fitness. My guest is Mike May. He's a communications consultant for the Sports and Fitness Industry Association. So, Mike, what's going on in the world of gaming, and are the video games not just for kids anymore, are they?
No, they're not. In fact, I've got to take my hat off to the entrepreneurs in the gaming industry. What they've done is absolutely incredible. But the thing is, it's not a good idea for people to base their sole exercise workout on video games and some of the activity you get with the Wii and stuff like that. It's a good complement and a supplement, but it should not be the primary way that you stay active.
Okay, so, you know, as we take our hats off to the gaming industry, what do you think? Are people still doing videos? Are they still popping in a video as you see? I mean, you're in the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, so you're selling equipment. You're seeing what people are doing out there. Are they still buying videos? Are they still jumping around to various video people? Is that kind of waned off a bit?
It's still out there, and I think as the popularity of home gyms has increased, so has the popularity interest in these videos, which don't always have to be bought and sold from a retail outlet. Some cases they can be borrowed for free from the library. So interest isn't always gauged just in sales, but it's definitely a way to, again, complement and add some diversity to your workout. But one thing we have noticed is a resurgence in interest in health clubs in this country in the last couple of years, specifically in class-based programs, Zumba, high-impact aerobics, step aerobics, things like that.
Now, and as far as gaming, those things are offered now. I mean, I get sent these videos all the time, Mike, you know, of 10-minute Pilates, 10-minute Zumba, 10-minute yoga, 10-minute, you know, for people looking for sort of the quick way to get some of this in without necessarily having to go schlep to a club and go get involved. Now, when you see these games out there and you see what people are doing as far as the trends in the sports, you do realize that some people have figured out a way to take those games and not do, like tennis, the things that were supposed to be sporty, tennis, baseball. My son can sit and play those things on the couch just by flicking his wrists around.
Precisely. People do have a way of getting around the activity, and if that's a choice they make, they won't reap the benefits. It's that simple. But don't try to tell anyone, especially you, that they're working out when you see them just on the couch and just maneuvering their wrist left and right.
Absolutely. Now, what about things like this Dance Dance Revolution? Because I know a lot of the kids love these things and are jumping all over the place.
Well, it's actually become a component of some PE programs in American schools. And when people hear music, they want to move. That's just a natural human reaction. And when you've got a gymnasium blaring with music, the children will perspire and they will be active and they'll have a good time. And it's, again, a great addition to a PE curriculum.
Okay, so you're saying that they're using some of these even in the schools.
Yes. In fact, the sports industry through the SFIA has conducted a lobby day the last few years, in fact, the last 14 years in March to highlight the importance of legislation that's pro-physical activity. And as part of the day, we've created a PE class in one of the congressional meeting rooms. And the last couple of years, we've actually had brought a class in from the D.C. area schools, and they've done a Dance Dance Revolution demonstration.
Wow. And so what has the results been? What have you seen?
Well, the results of our lobbying is we've been successful by getting a bill passed every year since fiscal year 2001 called PEP, Physical Education Program. To cut a long story short, it helps put federal funds in the hands of school districts, channeled through the Department of Education, and money is distributed on a grant-by-grant process. So it's a competitive bid process. School districts are encouraged to submit a bid for how much money they need to revitalize or improve or bring back to life their PE program. And some schools are using the money to buy equipment, which is fine because that helps get people active. And in some cases, it's Dance Dance Revolution.
And what's kind of fun is that now with things like even P90X, this 90-day fitness routine, and I guess it's grossed over like $500 million, and that people can now use iTunes and they can do things off of YouTube. I mean, the digital technology, it would seem to me, Mike, while maybe you're not getting proper form if you're learning something off of YouTube, at least you're doing something. Can we look at it that way?
Yes. The digital revolution is here to stay, and it's only becoming more entrenched in our lives every day. So it's not a matter of exercising without digital assistance. It's how to utilize the digital technology to support the exercise. And one thing that school programs are doing in PE classes is getting children to test their heart rate at the beginning of a lap, and they maybe run one lap around the track, and at the end of the lap, they test their heart rate again, check it, and then take that change in heart rate, put it on a computer program every day for like 2 weeks to see a chart of, okay, your heart rate when it's resting is at so many beats a minute, and after a one-lap run, it raises to this, and it consistently raises a certain percentage point every time, and the goal is that you want your heart rate to raise a certain percentage rate every time, so you're able to take the technology, put it on a program, and the children can analyze and actually see how well they're doing. So it's they need the data to go to the computer to create the program to see how they're doing. So it's no good going to the computer unless you have the data, and then the only way you'll get the data is to exercise.
That's interesting. And so the kids are using this digital technology not only for that, but then there was also a study about e-games possibly boosting the physical activity in children and, you know, maybe using it as a weapon against childhood obesity. And yet, Mike, video games have been blamed for contributing to this epidemic.
Yeah.
But in this study that I read, it really was saying that at least kids were getting up and doing some of these things and that maybe we can turn it around, that video games are not going to be the evil that's contributing, but maybe actually get them up off the couch.
Well, in some cases, if it's a sports-related video game, they may play basketball inside, and then I would like to think that they'll be so fired up about the game, they'll want to take the technological experience and go out to the driveway or a nearby park and play the game for real. But unless you get someone moving from the couch or the chair to a different environment where the real game is being played, you may not get many results.
Well, one place that I see is maybe in some, you know, we've talked on this show a lot, Mike, about the problems with childhood obesity in the urban settings, and it's such a humongous problem with sidewalks and parks that aren't safe. But when you think of e-games, children in neighborhoods that don't have safe places to play and jump around can maybe get moving from these. And so in the last 45 seconds or so, wrap up the trends in the e-games and gaming for fitness.
Well, they're definitely more geared towards movement. It's no longer a matter of just clicking your two thumbs. I think the gaming industry has taken on the challenge to try to create games that actually get the body to move with the flow of the games and not just keep people stationary, because I think they are they're not interested in being the subject of criticism that they are a major cause of the obesity. They can actually be a gateway to activity. And if they can create games that motivate people, not just children, to get up and move and maybe take that experience somewhere else, then everybody wins.
What a perfect summary, Mike May, that they can be a gateway to activity instead of, you know, something that really blocks it. And that's what we've always looked at. But now let's turn it around and try and get our kids and friends and neighbors playing these games and jumping around at the same time. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.